What is of first importance to you? Remember when I was just a young priest? Maybe you still think I'm a young priest, I don't know. But my first year of priesthood, something very impactful happened. I'd been visiting an elderly woman at her home who was homebound, bringing her Holy Communion, chatting with her every week. After a number of months, she indicated to me that she wanted to discontinue her dialysis. She felt that the time had come, that she was ready to make that journey to the Lord. And she explained to me what the doctors had said, that once she discontinued her dialysis, she would have about 2 or 3 days to live. And she decided that she was going to muster all of her energy in these last few days to reach out to all the people that she had known throughout her many years, to write them letters, to make phone calls. I always wondered, I'm sure that most of those conversations were brief, but what was it that she wanted to relay to each of them? What was the matter of first importance for her that she wanted to communicate in those conversations? St. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, tells us what is of first importance to him. He's talking about tradition, right? Literally, what is handed on, right? I have handed on to you what is of first importance, namely, that Jesus died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He rose from the dead on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and He appeared to Peter and to the apostles and to the disciples and to me. The matter of most importance, the central reality. This is the heart of our faith, this event of Jesus' death and resurrection. Now, Pope Francis, especially at the beginning of his pontificate, often reminded us to start with this proclamation of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Because when we start somewhere else, when we start with something that's derivative, right, what results from the first principles or from what is most fundamental, it's so easy for us to get lost and to get confused. This happens often for people when they examine the moral teachings of the Church outside of the context of the foundational events and principles of our faith. It's so easy to get lost and confused. So Pope Francis was reminding us, always begin with this thing, this event that is of first importance, the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now today, these days, our own bishop, Bishop Haing, has been calling us through this Go Make Disciples initiative to strengthen our discipleship with the Lord. And he's emphasizing for us 4 essential spiritual habits that each disciple must have. They are Sunday Mass and keeping the Lord's Day holy, daily prayer, frequent confession, and mortification, doing penance on Friday to unite ourselves to the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. Now, one might think, well, why, Bishop, are you making these things the essential things? Why are you putting these things before us? Well, don't forget, brothers and sisters, that our bishop is presenting all of this as a response. A response of an active life of faith after we've encountered the gospel message of the saving death and resurrection of Jesus. You're right, it doesn't make sense to do any of these things if it's not in response to having encountered the Lord's saving power. So our bishop is telling us these 4 are essential, because by these sacraments and by these spiritual practices, we gain access to the mystery of the death and resurrection of Jesus. These are the things that keep us most connected to the matter of first importance. These are the things that keep us there at the origin, at the source, at the event of Jesus' death and resurrection. Without these things, it's so easy for the story of Jesus to drift into the realm of myth, or our faith to become an abstract concept or a mere moral framework. That's not what our Christian faith is. All of these practices are meant to connect us to the real event and the real person of Jesus. That is the heart of our Christian faith and life. Now, as the bishop calls all of us to this deeper discipleship, you might also be thinking, well, who am I to pretend to be a disciple of Jesus? Well, you are chosen. You are elected. You are called. And if you've been baptized, you've been initiated into the life of Jesus and to the way of discipleship. Do you feel unworthy? Well, it's true. We're no different than anyone else. On our own merits, we're no different. Like Isaiah and Simon Peter, before the Lord, we're unclean and unworthy. But like them, it's this encounter with the Lord that makes us clean and makes us worthy to be His disciples. He has called us, and by His grace, He gives us what we need to draw near to Him, to follow Him, to live in the joy of the Lord and the joy of the gospel. Hence, these spiritual practices link us, right, unworthy though we are, link us to the source, to the power of Jesus. Let's keep first things first always. But remember that we must respond in faith to what Jesus has done for us.